WWMR Beckley.
Tonight's Head On Rockin' Kickoff. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliate Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Rockin' Kickoff.
Good evening, almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock here in kind of halfway cloudy, sort of clear skies, mix of sun and clouds. That's what they say, isn't it? Beautiful uptown Beckley. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Monday, thank God. It's finally Monday. We had a nice weekend. I got the tiller working. Thank God. So, you know, the way we're looking, I'll probably have the garden in by the 4th of July. Maybe. And a great time yesterday down at the new ballpark in Charleston as we went down to see the West Virginia Power suffer a power outage. Not bad in the fielding department. Not bad in the pitching department. Couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with a baseball bat. Really. Now, bless their hearts, they tried, but they went down in defeat to the Delmarva Shorebirds, but the Kincaid kids had a blast, as did the Chief Kincaid. That would be me. And it was Fayette County Community Day or some such. I had a good time, felt really bad for the one lady who, got drilled by a foul ball. It was bad. And it was really strange, too, because right-hand batter, you know, you're paying attention. And, you know, it's a very intimate little park. If you ever go, you have to pay attention to the game. Because those foul balls just rain into the stands. And the right-hand batter was up and completely turned on the pitch and sent it into the third base seats, caught a lady right in the side of the head, about 120 miles an hour. It was bad. It was really, really bad. So I hope she's doing better. And, of course, if you heard the top-of-the-hour news, something I caught earlier today as well, Howard Morris, at age 85, has passed on. Bless his heart. Ernest T. Bass.
Andy, she called me a creature. How do you do, Mrs. Wiley?
He was a gem, and, of course, with the Sid Caesar show as well. And, Mel Brooks movie in the last 10 years or so that he played a prominent role in where he insisted on calling the Mel Brooks character Pepto because the Mel Brooks character had fallen asleep against a Pepto-Bismol box and they were homeless together. So, requiescat in pace. Howard Morris, you gave us a bunch of laughs, and we appreciate that. The phone number, I will remind you early on, is 252-6200, round hereabouts. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. WWNR, of course, standing in for 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. We're happy to pay the freight for folks who are outside of the dialing area. Email to bob@headonradio.com. It's reliable. It's fired up, and we're waiting. We're waiting for your emails. And of course, we stream live for you every night on the internet at wwnrnewstalk620.com. If you've got something on your mind, share it with us. Meanwhile, there's a portal there. You can go to the link to my site, headonradio.com. It's something I provide for you for free. There are message boards there, and you can have a good old time. On the boards. And again, no charge. Just because I'm that nice a guy. Let's see. Kind of picking up where we left off on Friday evening because I got to the story so late. I told you a little bit about the bust of the Christian rape cult in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. Some 24 young people who were persistently raped by members of this church, in an organized fashion, over a course of years, ranging in age from literally infants to teenagers, some dogs and cats also died in the process. It was the Hosanna Church, the pastor thereof is hopefully in jail now, as are several adult members of that church. And so I mentioned that toward the end of the show Friday night, but it's in the still, small, quiet hours that you realize the full horror of things. Assuming, how could it get more horrible than what I just told you? Well, it can. Because, as usual, these rapists were members of the church. They hide out there. They use religion as a cover for their malevolent acts, their torment of little kids. And it was as I was driving home Friday night that I realized, as I said, the full horror of it, and that is, are you ready for this? We paid them to do it. Those 24 infants to teenagers that were brutally... No. Is there any other way to be raped than brutally? Gently raped? No, I don't think so. It's like brutally murdered. You know, you want to... Stop it. These 24 individuals who were repeatedly raped from infancy into their teen years by this church, by the religion industry, we paid them to do it. Because, of course, you understand and you recognize and you realize, and you're already there and you're shuddering just like I did when it came to me Friday night. Yeah, they get a tax exemption. We don't tax them. They got a tax exemption for raping these little children and these teenagers. A tax exemption. Good God. John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer didn't take a tax deduction for what they did. But because we, the people, live in unmitigated fear of the religion industry, they get a tax break for what they do to little kids. And this at the same time that that religion industry tool in North Carolina is arguing that preachers should be able to politic from the pulpit just like that creep Chan Chandler did in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago and destroyed a congregation. We paid for the rape of those children. Anyone for suffer the little children to come unto me, for that is the nature of the kingdom of God? No, I don't think so. So just to sort of keep that in mind. Every time you see one of these religion monsters who has done something literally god-awful to a child, just smile and say to yourself, hey, we pimped those kids out because we gave that church a tax break. Goody for us. Yeah, liberals, progressives, in other words, decent people. The only thing that is required for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing and say nothing. But if they get if these Republican sex monsters get a tax break out of it along the way, they're all the more happy. What a world we live in. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls to 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties who pass on the way to work. People who share your same area code. Facebook Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from board members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our four local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
When you think of a murdered woman, who's the murderer? A man lurking in the shadows? A psychopath? A stranger? How about a husband? A boyfriend? A lover? The fact is, one-third of all female murder victims are killed by their intimate partners. In 69% of these cases, the murder weapon is a gun. These killings don't come out of the blue. They're usually the end of a long story of violent domestic abuse. Yet there's no telling which man will keep on punching and kicking, and which man will use a gun. That's why, under federal law, anyone convicted of domestic violence or subject to a domestic violence restraining order can't have a gun. They can't own a gun, they can't borrow a gun, they can't use a gun. If they do, they can go to federal prison. If you or someone you know is being abused, call 1-800-799-SAFE. If you have questions about the federal firearms laws, call 1-800-ATF-GUNS.
This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods. He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
This is Good On, I'm Bob Kincaid. And straight to the phones, as I said, 252-6200 is the phone number. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Am I on the air? I got nothing. Okay. Just checking. Thought I, if you don't have the headphones, you don't know. Brian is with us. Hey, Brian, you're head on. Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Made a note to myself today to make sure I called you this evening because I was listening to the morning show.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you've done, but boy, you set Jeff on a tirade today.
Oh, really?
He was calling you and Jim and Jethro traitors to the country.
Oh, mercy. Well, thanks for letting me know, Brian.
He was really on a tirade.
Well, what it boils down to, as far as I know, Brian, is the fact that Jeff has finally been called on the fact that he hollers his support for this war, but is young enough and refuses to participate in it.
Yeah, he was saying he was a patriot because he's standing up to people like you.
Yeah, there's a word for that. It's called a sunshine patriot. I forget who coined that phrase, but, you know, whatever. Again, I always enjoy it because, Brian, it's hard not to talk about this show because it is the hottest and fastest growing show in West Virginia, if not the country. And, it's hard not to talk about it on any radio program. So I love it. I love it when they're talking about me on the morning show.
Yeah, he's still claiming that you're against the troops over there.
Well, he's as full of you-know-what as a Christmas goose, Brian, because I've made nothing plainer than my support for the troops. And, in fact, my sympathy for the troops.
I agree.
I feel like they're very special people, and we as a people owe a very significant debt to them, and one of those debts is not to coldly, cruelly, and casually use them for political ends that cannot be justified.
Yeah, well, I'm on your side, and I think you're the patriot.
All right, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Take it easy. And let's see, Ben Birch is with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you? Doing good. You?
Just fine. That was Tom Paine, the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot, will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman.
I knew somebody'd have it, and you're pretty good for that kind of thing, Ben. Thanks.
It's not just that we give them a tax break; it's that we give them free services. They get a church, just like any place, where you've got some property, some real property in a building. They get fire service. They get police service. They get roads built right up to their verge. They get city water service. Well, they pay for the water, but they don't pay for the assessment.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. They get sewer service. Well, they might pay for the sewer, but they don't pay for the assessment.
That sounds like welfare to me, Ben.
It is welfare for the religions, and it has gone on in this country far too long, and it is about time that we permanently end the religious exemption for churches. People like Pat Robertson wouldn't be funding his diamond mines and his gold mines in Africa, where slave labor is used,
yes,
where children are forced to dig out gold and diamonds, and then when they die, their bodies are left to rot next to the road. Okay?
Yeah, people think you're kidding. You're not.
No, I'm not kidding. That's literally what he's done. Pat Robertson is a slave owner by proxy.
He is a
monster, and he ought to be expelled from our society forever.
All this is through, in many instances, ties to that great and noble Christian Charles Taylor of Liberia, is it not?
It is, and in fact, it turns out that some of the funding for this, that is derived from this enterprise, may have gone directly to Al Qaeda. It gets very, very, very dicey, but in terms of how he managed to do these things and export the diamonds without export controls and get them onto the world market without paying tariffs and taxes on them involved dealing with some very shady and disreputable people, and the rumor has it that people connected with Al-Qaeda are involved with Pat Robertson in the diamond and gold trade.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised in the least, Ben. I mean, these people have no, when we're talking about Falwell, when we're talking about Robertson, since they don't have the theocracy they want, they feel no urge toward loyalty toward this, our nation.
No, they don't consider that the Constitution of the United States is anything. Okay, they believe that only the Bible is an appropriate description of a just government.
And that's frightening.
It is horribly frightening. No, we need to have not just freedom of religion, but freedom from religion in this country.
At this stage of the game, Ben, I couldn't help but agree. Consider, if you will, I read an article today that some, even Republican members of the House of Representatives, are daring George Bush to veto their stem cell legislation. You know, and this is such a twisted country right now. These conscience acts for physicians and pharmacists who don't want to fill birth control prescriptions, it has now extended to measles and chicken pox vaccines because stem cells were or some embryonic form of substance was used in the creation of these vaccines, and doctors may under these proposed rules refuse to tell the parents of little children about these vaccines that can literally save their lives because they've got some twisted vision of religion where it's a bad thing for children not to get diseases.
Well, yet you realize, of course, that this violates the Hippocratic Oath.
It takes it out and beats it to death.
Yes. No, I don't think a doctor ought to be allowed to practice if he even once refuses something like that.
But, of course, the question remains, Ben, how much will we tolerate from the religion industry? They're not Christians.
No, they're not. And my opinion is that this is all going to end very violently for them.
Well, either for them, for us, the normal people are, I said it a long time ago before you even started archiving the program. In many instances, us normal people, Ben, are caught in a war. I mean, for instance, between the fundamentalists of Al-Qaeda and the fundamentalists of the religion industry in America, the normal people are caught in the middle of a war between tastes great and less filling.
That's right.
And we're the ones that are asked to die for it.
Yeah, except for people who can get on the radio and be blowhards and claim to be patriots, but who'd never even consider helping out with the cause.
No. Absolutely. I understand exactly what you're saying.
That somebody like that is, to me, just the worst form of scum.
The Sunshine Patriots. Here, hold on. We've got a little something here
right.
That you've reminded me of. If we can find it, it might take a second or so. Hit it.
All right, Republicans, line up for duty. Where are you going?
You've heard this before, I know.
Kicking
off. Go ahead, take it down, Jesse. We've got it there just in case. But the country's full of them. And now there's a story out today, Ben, about
people who can't even be activated for active duty service because their teeth are so rotten. This is out of Washington. They were called the Denture Brigade or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think our buddy Gene sent that to me. Couldn't even be activated for service because they couldn't. The National Guard will afford $10 a month. They'll charge you $10 a month for dental coverage, and there are people who are just living on their National Guard pay, can't afford it.
Right.
But George Bush supports the troops, right?
Kind of like Colonel Sanders supports the chickens.
Exactly. Hey, Ben, thanks so much. Always good to hear from you.
You take care, sir.
Have a great evening. Bye now. Yeah, like Colonel Sanders supports the chickens. Do you understand how serious this is? We have a broken military. It's been psychically, spiritually, physically, mentally broken. And I am trying to... blogspot.warisreal.com. You want to read a soldier's words? Go read that. blogspot.warisreal.com. Now, this guy's already been to Iraq. He's about to go back, and right now, and he is a shattered human being, as so many of our returning veterans are, and they're being asked to go back. Meanwhile, we're out, and Ben just hits it right on the head. We're not only giving tax breaks to the religion industry, these people who rape little children like the Hosanna Church of Ponchatoula, Louisiana. We fund their services, fire service, police service, emergency service, infrastructure, and they get it all for free. You pay for it. I pay for it. My God, if there was any other organization on the face of this nation, some Republican would be screaming his damned head off, hollering, welfare! Gotta end the welfare! But not if it's the religion industry, huh? Not if it's your tax dollars and my tax dollars going to support people who rape little children. Whew. I don't know how anybody can stand to be a part of it, but, you know, that's just me and my crazy... don't rape the children morals, me and my crazy, suffer the little children to come unto me morals, me and my absolutely insane, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me morals. Oh, there he goes. He's being mean to the Christians again. No, I am not. Cherie told me Friday night on the air, make this clear. I'm not talking about the people who follow Yeshua. I'm talking about these religion industry monsters. I'm talking about these mega church cults that want to wallow in the political filth and mire and still stand up and say, Hosanna! Yea, verily, I bring you the enlightened truth. And get a tax break for it while they're doing the little kids back behind the baptistry. Yuck! Do they deserve a tax break? You tell me. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. Time for our bottom of the hour break. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Mercer County authorities are asking for the public's help in solving last week's murder of a Green Valley tattoo shop owner. Mike White was shot to death in the parking lot of the Dragon's Den on Route 460 at around 2:30 Thursday afternoon. State police are looking for a green Lincoln that was seen driving away from the crime scene and was later found abandoned at about 300 yards away. Witnesses say White was trying to sell the vehicle and had received the keys, saying someone wanted to buy it. People in the building heard gunshots and then saw the vehicle speeding away from the site where White had been shot. The murder trial of one of the men accused of beating a McDowell County man to death last year has been rescheduled. Robert Forte of Kimball will now stand trial June 27th for the murder of Nick Cinsolo. Forte and Elsie Lester of Welch are accused of beating the 79-year-old man to death in October and then dumping his body in the spillway of a dam at Twin Branch. High gasoline prices may be bad news for motorists, but it's good news for Raleigh County's public transportation system. Officials with the Raleigh County Community Action Association say ridership on the bus is up since gas prices went above $2 a gallon. In a recent poll, 58% of Americans said they've reduced the amount of driving they do as a result of high energy prices. Robert Ryder with RCCAA says that translates into more people on the bus, but buses still have to pay the same high price for fuel that everybody else does. And Ryder hopes the increased ridership offsets those higher costs for buses. And finally, this evening, students and teachers at Woodrow Wilson High School had a rude awakening this morning when they arrived at school. Assistant Principal Jackie McPeak says someone broke into the school between 7:30 at night and 2:30 this morning and went on a very destructive spree of the school. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Showers and thunderstorms, chilly, low tonight near 42. Tomorrow and Wednesday a chance of showers and very cool for this time of the year. Daytime highs only near 52 tomorrow, maybe mid-50s if we're lucky by Wednesday. And then Thursday partly cloudy, finally a little bit warmer, with temperatures on Thursday in the upper 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Jesse Russell. The dominoes have begun to tumble in a coalition of hotels that have been struggling with the Hotel Workers Union. Two of the nine left the coalition on Thursday and conceded to a demand by Unite Here to have hotel contracts across the country end in 2006. The deal will give the union the ability to call a nationwide solidarity strike, giving workers an extra ace in the sleeve when going up against multinational hotel chains. The Sheraton Los Angeles agreed to the new contract. On the same day, the general manager for the Wilshire Grand called on the other coalition members to close the deal for the sake of the local economy. The hotel council is now down to seven members who are contractually obligated to sign as a group.
Is the United States headed towards becoming one big Walmart? That's the subject of a new play called Walmartopia, which envisions a future where Walmart has taken over the media, schools, and even people's minds.
We hit upon the idea of doing Walmart and just instantly said, yeah, it's just kind of the symbol of capitalism.
Andrew Roan is one of the playwrights of Walmartopia, along with Catherine Capilaro. The Madison, Wisconsin-based team have decided that humor is the best tool to address Walmart's dirty labor practices.
I think it's the present CEO who said he was tired of being bitten to death by guppies in reference to just all the little protests and suits and all this stuff. So this would set off a musical number where we think we actually want to have actors dressed as guppies doing some dance number and him fighting them off and stuff like that.
Roan says he hopes audience members will leave the play with a better idea of what Walmart is doing to their communities. Walmartopia is set to premiere in December in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hundreds of teachers in Dedham, Massachusetts violated their contracts when they picketed during hours they were supposed to be working. That was the finding of the Massachusetts Labor Relations Commission last week. The ruling says that because the teachers left work early and arrived at their classes late because of picketing plans, they were essentially striking, a violation of their contracts. It is illegal for public employees to strike in Massachusetts. The suit was filed by the school committee. The two sides have been negotiating since January of 2004. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Baby boomers could soon become internet boomers. As the generation starts to turn 60 in 2006, the amount of those over 65 online could soon triple. A new report by eMarketer says the trend could cause a shakeup in the ways companies that cater to retired operate. Two-thirds of adults between 50 to 64 use the internet. Only 28% of those over 65 are online.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Now, 24 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock as the thunder rolls through uptown Beckley. Just had a dandy. I take that as a sort of an amen from the higher quarters to what I was saying earlier. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200 is the phone number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yo, Bob.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Congressional sources. Deal made to avoid Senate filibuster.
Really? As of when?
As of right now.
Oh, really?
It just came over to Anderson Cooper.
Any sort of details yet?
Not yet. No.
I'll check that during the next break and see what we can find out.
Of course, anytime I hear that the Democrats have made a deal, I start shaking, Jim.
Well, I think this probably may have broken Frist's hold on the Senate. I don't know. I hope it has. I'm going to be optimistic, at least for the time being, okay?
And it will be a good thing if it has. But remember, where the religion industry is concerned, he couldn't lose.
Well, I don't know about that either.
He has presidential ambitions.
Well, I don't know, but going back to what your earlier caller said, yep, you and I and Jethro and a couple others were later labeled as traitors and by our chicken hawk monkey spank, what's his name? F. Jeff.
Well, whatever.
Or F. Jeff.
But
he says he's too old.
Oh, too old now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I'll be darned.
Hey, you know, I wasn't trying to bust the guy's chops, Bob. I was just trying to give him an opportunity which he could excel.
I understand.
I mean, I'll be glad to call a commander of the recruiting battalion over there at Mallard Court.
Well, I thought they didn't the National Guard up the enlistment age?
They're taking him at 35.
No, it's higher than that now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, they got men over there catching bullets in their 50s.
That's right. And, I'm just a couple of years over the limit myself. You know what, Jim? I even made a call to the recruiting command to ask. I did that.
Well,
better me than my kids. But they said,
well, they need, basically, they're in a very serious manpower, a dilemma, and you know, let's face it, recruiters are having to stand on their head to get recruits, and the whole future of the volunteer army is basically threatened. And you know, nobody cares for the military more than I do, having been a part of it. And I'll tell you this, it's more than Jeff has ever done. But
well, let's keep names out of it. But,
well, I mean, you know, I think we can let this boil with the lights on and the cameras running, but.
Well, see,
I don't like to have people call my name and call me a traitor.
And you absolutely have a right to defend yourself against that.
And that's
Jim.
Exactly why I'm doing that.
But
and, you know,
let's do remember one thing. It is, like I said, it is hard to avoid talking about the show.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, people like that, as far as I'm concerned, that's but trash, and they don't know any better. They're just ignorant. Can't even speak their own tongue, their own mother tongues properly. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as long as they get out there and crow and hoot and holler among themselves, it sounds like a bunch of pigs squealing. And,
well,
you know, it's to my advantage, really, because anybody who's got any sense when they listen to them will realize what fools they are.
Well, Jim, you've worn the uniform with pride, as has Jethro.
Right.
As have a number of callers to this show who share a lot of my opinions and our opinions. And it is most belittling when it shows the paucity of ideas when you are reduced to attacking veterans. Yeah, that's just pitiful.
Well, that's exactly what the current administration has done, because basically, you know, they basically use them, and when they're of no use to them, they're just basically kind of discarded. And yet you have people like who run in forums saying that veterans' benefits have not gone down, and that's not at all the case. I mean, you know, veterans are being charged. And this guy named Wayne, I think it was Wayne or somebody on the afternoon show this afternoon, and I'm saying this is a positive light, he just had a list of things about the current president, the likes of which you've never heard. I hope he calls you tonight and gives them to you, because
I'll
guarantee one thing, it'll just blow your mind.
It's amazing.
I mean, it really is. And by the way, I just got my a pictorial directory of the 108th Congress.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what Shelley Moore Capulet or Castanet looked like. Or Capito, is that her name?
Shelley Moore. I mean, the apple falleth not far from the tree.
Moore, well, good God. She looks like a bad drag of either Angie Dickinson or one of Dracula's brides who got caught by the sunlight in her nightly feeding.
Well, a friend of mine saw her photo one time, Jim, and he was one of my Southern West Virginia buddies. He said, good God, Bob, that woman would make a freight train take a dirt road.
Well, she ain't no oil titan. She ain't a fascinating monster either.
But, you know,
but I mean, the things, you know, that are said about people, it really just goes to show their own ignorance and their own stupidity. And, you know, anybody in a double-wide trailer, I guess, can get a computer for $35 a month if they got a telephone. And that's exactly what some of these people remind me of, you know. and they're always looking up this and looking up that off the internet. But you know something? You can't use your whole source for information of and get distorted facts and figures. And when you get on there and try to use them, and you don't know what you're talking about and don't know how to use them, you look like the biggest fool in the world. Not you personally, but the person who does it. You know what I'm saying?
I understand your usage. I absolutely do.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous. But, I mean, hey, if he wants to call me names, that's fine. That's okay with me.
Well, you're...
And, you know, we can respond in kind.
Considering
the person who entertains it and permits it.
Considering the other people have been called names, Jim, you're in pretty doggone good company.
Well, I'll say one more thing, and I'm going to leave you. So some things were said about Mr. Rahal and Senator Byrd today that bordered on defamation of character. And I'll tell you something, Bob. Freedom is not absolute. It's relative. I mean, your freedom begins where your nose starts. And that's where my freedom ends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say certain things, but you damn well better be able to prove it if you go say it, or if you put it in writing.
Well,
better have some sources.
The standards, for public figures, Jim, the standards are set forth beginning with New York Times versus Sullivan, and are followed up with Falwell versus Flint or Falwell versus Hustler, whatever. You'll recall that Jerry Falwell sued Larry Flint for a cartoon in Hustler magazine in which he described, the cartoon more or less described Falwell getting it on with his mother, and Falwell sued and lost.
Well.
So the standards for public figures are pretty tall. Toward that end, an old political operative once advised me that the one thing you should adhere to more than anything else is an old country saying, root hog or die, tough hide lasts the longest.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, you know, I just kind of belong to the old school where, you know, if you make a statement, you got to be able to back it up.
Oh, No. I absolutely believe in that too, Jim. But the thing is, we are dealing with people who don't deal in facts. Okay.
Well, see, that's the difference between your show and the morning show. You deal in facts. These people can be characterized as two words. Truly fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And, you know.
But, Jim, it extends beyond that. That's what I'm trying. And it goes to what I'm trying to tell good, decent liberals and progressives. We are dealing with a hateful bunch of people, and they are bullies. And it's like my lovely wife noted to me this afternoon. She said, most Democrats don't understand that if you just walk up to a bully and mash his face real good and stand up to him just once, he'll slink and crawl away because inside every bully is a coward. And that's what we're dealing with in the Republican Party right now, these power-mad, religiously obsessed maniac freaks. If we just learn to stand up to them, they will wither away.
Well, I believe that perhaps, like I say, It might not be the end of the beginning, but it is the beginning of the end, the beginning of the end.
I hope it is.
Of their hegemony in Washington.
I hope it is because if they stay, a lot is riding on 06 and even more is riding on 08.
Well, listen, my compliments to Mel, Jethro, Ed, and Wayne and all those good guys out there. And may they all, you all live long and prosper.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I'm sure they do as well. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Bye now. Again, and I have used this phrase from time to time, going back to agrarian southern days, the stump liquor bunch. These people who drink that malevolent leavings from the sorghum or the molasses makings, and it's usually in an old hollowed out stump. And it'll rot your mind. And it'll make you mean and violent and hateful. And that's what these Republicans behave like. And you see them every time they get stood up to, they slink away. It happened to the cat killer, Bill Frist, when Bob Byrd stood up to him. And it has happened time and time and time again. If you don't sit there and can we make a deal? Now, Jim tells me that a deal has been made to avert the final solution. Yeah, the Republicans, Trent Lott coined that term, the nuclear option. I don't know why they didn't just go ahead, because I got a cut in here. SNTO, look in there, Jesse. I want you to hear this. want you guys to hear. This is a couple of days old, but it's still worth you hearing.
And the audacity of some members to stand up and say, how dare you break this rule? It's the equivalent of Adolf Hitler in 1942 saying, I'm in Paris, how dare you invade me? How dare you bomb my city? It's mine!
Now that's that sick punk Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Now do you remember back during the run-up to the presidential campaign when one of the submissions for an advertising campaign, it wasn't even one of the finalists, mentioned Adolf Hitler and George Bush in the same breath, and the right-wingers absolutely had a mortified hissy. It was, and they blamed Move On for it. Move On didn't even put it out there for consumption as one of the finalists. The Republican National Committee got it and put it on their website and then blamed Move On. How dare he mention Hitler? How dare he? Now, this sick creep, Rick Santorum, who literally brought a dead fetus home from the hospital to terrorize his children with, this guy who says that gay marriage is the same as bestiality, when he's a member of a party that shares commonality with a guy named Neil Horsley that proudly admits to having committed bestiality, this monstrous cretin, Rick Santorum, has the nerve to suggest that every senator who opposes the ugly little putsch that the Republicans are trying to accomplish in the Senate is Hitler-like? That trying to preserve the traditions of over 200 years in the United States Senate is akin to Hitler in Paris saying, how dare you invade my soul? He's not even intelligent. The analogy makes no damn sense. But there he is, your mainstream religion industry Republican. Bully. And if you stand up to him, he will run away like the cur dog that he is. You know, and this is the same guy that wants to make sure that people who are being borne down upon by a hurricane in Florida can't get any decent information out of it because he wants to shut down the National Weather Service in favor of his constituents, AccuWeather, in Pennsylvania, from whence he arises. Night after night after night, we talk about these things. We are dealing with a gang of power-drunk preachers. Andy, she called me a creature. Rest in peace, Howard Morris. Give me a new haircut, it's all slickety in the back. But that is, honest to God, what we're dealing with in these Republicans. Republicans, Repignicans, Repervicans. We have still, to this day, never gotten around to talking about David Hager. Incompleteness. This religion industry freak who wrote a book, yes, he did, he certainly did, wrote a book talking about, and bear in mind, he refuses to prescribe birth control medication to single women, substitutes his judgment as to whether they should bear children for theirs, was divorced from his wife, yes, he was divorced from his wife, and the documents of the divorce are rife with the complaints of his now former wife as to what he did to her against her will. Let's use the word sodomy. Yeah, he sodomized his wife against her will and then tried to pay her for it. His own wife, this man of God. And, boy, for anybody who loves their spouse, it just crawls all over you. And this man has the nerve to suggest that he, the Christian. Oh, you should learn about David Hager. He co-authored a book where he says that PMS should be treated in women by reading them, no, I'm not kidding, Bible verses. And that a woman with a headache should be given not an aspirin or a Tylenol or an Advil, but a Bible verse. Really and for true. These are the monsters that we're dealing with. Oh, where is it? I've got it. I've got to share it with you. It's right here. It's right here. I promise it's right here. Looking for it. Looking for it. I feel like that computer on Star Trek.
Searching!
Now, the guy's name is David Hager, and he was in charge of making decisions about women's health care in the FDA for the Bush administration. We're talking about some real dandies. Oh, goodness me. I hate it when this happens. I'm looking for it. Bear with me. I'm sorry. Here it is, right in front of me. I'm sorry. Blind as a bat. David Hager. W. David Hager. I'm sorry. His former wife of 32 years, mind you. He was married to her for 32 years. He pressured her to let him videotape them having sex and regularly paid her for sex acts that she was otherwise unwilling to perform. Sworn testimony as to how much he paid and when. And he's a real, and since he is a sexually abusing religion industry monster, you would expect, and you would be correct, that he is a close confidant of James Dobson, the Reverend Dobson, enabler of rape. And he says that a woman who has a headache needs to hear this. Again, now, okay, ladies, and we do have a significant number of ladies in the audience, you're about to be part of a study. If you have a headache, raise your hands. I can see you through the radio. It's just like romper room. Put your hands on the radio or on the computer. This is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and W. David Hager says it's good for a woman with a headache. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Feeling better now? Didn't think so. Okay. Now, this is a longer reading because, well, it's a more significant, more convoluted problem. Remember, this is advice from a gynecologist, a religion industry gynecologist. Now, ladies, that's supposed to make your headache feel better. Now, anybody PMSing in the crowd? Okay, because we're about to make it all better again. Hands back on the radio, hands on the computer. This is from Acts chapter 5. This will cure your PMS, according to W. David Hager, who repeatedly sodomized his wife against her will. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay, and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, then call not thou uncommon. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Okay, ladies, all better now? Didn't think so. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. You think I'm kidding?
time after time after time after time after time, I give you example after example after example after example after example of these monstrosities that have the bits in their teeth and are trying to run away with our Republican form of government, who hate the impartiality, feigned or real, of the judiciary, who hate the idea of a government that can exist outside the bounds of theocratic rules laid down 5,000, 7,000 years ago for a pre-literate society of nomads. Some people, oh, he's kidding again. No, I'm not. This is real sunshine. These are the people who want to tell you how to live your lives. Ladies, I can't profess to understand your pain or what you go through. I can sympathize. It's all I can do. But do you really want your government run by a bunch of freaks who think that you don't need medicine nearly as much as you need the Bible read to you? Do you need your government run by a bunch of people who think that if it's not contained in that book, it's not real? I mean, these are the kinds of people that, you know, oh, gee, too bad about the polio, God's will. Too bad about the smallpox, God's will. Had it been, you know, had they had their way, there would have been no polio vaccine. This religion industry, there would have been no, there would have been no smallpox vaccine, because it's God's will and it's all contained in the received wisdom of the book. And some people die of smallpox, and that's what God wants to happen. Do you see what's going on here? And now it carries over to the stem cell debate. Too bad about your mama's Alzheimer's, God's will. Too bad about that crushed spinal cord, God's will. Too bad about the Parkinson's disease, God's will. Who are you going to stand with? The normal, decent, liberal, progressive people? Or the ninth century crowd? It's your choice. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You say you want a revolution, yes, you know. We all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution, yes, you know. We all want to change the world.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
Do you really there? You'll know how much you care from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's the forecast from the Weather Channel. After a high in the 60s, we're headed to 46 through the overnight hours, with a few thunderstorms through the evening, and the chance of rain about 60%. We're not going off to the north right now. Not even occasional showers, a high of 53 through tomorrow, with a Wednesday to be showery as well under the influence of the upper trough, high around 59, and then finally some sun back Thursday.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Still trying to sort out some of the details of this alleged agreement in the Senate. I'm worried. I'm also Bob Kincaid, yeah. I'm worried. I'll be honest, I'm frightened that the appeasocrats have caved to the bullies. I fear that they have that they've caved in,
that they'll, what, let through three and then promise? What do you want to bet the three are Priscilla Owens, Janice Rogers Brown, and Richard Pryor, David Pryor? God, I wish it was Richard Pryor. Honest to God, if this deal is going to let Priscilla Owens and Janice Rogers Brown through, it's going to be the progressives and the liberals around the country should send a bowler hat and an umbrella to every capitulating Senate Democrat. You understand the reference, of course. We have achieved peace in our time. Neville Chamberlain. I guess the polling data indicates that most of America doesn't give a tinker's damn about this issue. And I suppose that I am guilty of supplanting my news junkiness, the fact that I took that little civics class seriously when they said, hey, you know, pay attention, it's your government. And a lot of us do pay attention. But apparently most of America is far more interested in what Jay Leno is going to testify about at the Michael Jackson trial. Which just makes me want to pluck my eyeballs out, stick my head in a bucket of lye, and walk screaming off a cliff. So we're, and for that matter, anybody who does know the details of this, because that was what I kept hearing, that, you know, at one point we had offered to let 9 out of 10 through, and the 10th one only because they couldn't pass the security muster. This is a very frustrating issue because all along the bullies in the Republican Party, you know, fresh from their visit to the stump licker, have been standing up and, it's the Democrats' fault. They've been obstructionists. When in fact, you know, these people deserve an up or down vote. They deserve an up or down vote. The job of the Senate is to vote. Well, see, the Senate gave its advice and consent on every one of these renominated pigs. The Senate gave its advice on Priscilla Owen. The Senate gave its advice on Janice Rogers Brown. The Senate gave its advice on David Pryor. They did it in the last term of Congress. They said, Mr. Bush, we're going to put a whole bunch of your nominees through, even though they might be right-wing extremists next door to Nazis. But we're not going to let Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown and David Pryor through. They're freaks, Mr. President. They're freaks. You know, they're the kind of judicial activists that we wouldn't trust in an outhouse with a muzzle on. Thanks, Sam. And they were rejected. Every one of these cretins was rejected. Do you understand? They were outright rejected by the Senate. So Bush went ahead, when the Senate went into recess, Bush went ahead and put Pryor on the bench despite the rejection by the Senate in a recess appointment. So he had to be reapproved. Janice Rogers Brown, Priscilla Owen, who has the death of a young black man and the blood of a young black man all over her filthy, bigoted hands, they were rejected outright. So it was Bush who flaunted the tradition of the Senate and renominated them. Did Lyndon Johnson renominate Abe Fortas? No. It was clear Abe Fortas was not going to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But Bush has no regard for tradition or precedent or the rule of law. Yeah, really not much on the rule of law thing. So he sent these names, Priscilla Owen, low rent, low life hack from the oil industry, sent her back to the Senate. That's just, you're dealing with a Bush. You're dealing with someone who cares not for the rule of law. Let's go to the phones, though. Maggie is with us. Hey, Maggie, you're head on. Hey, Maggie. How are you?
I think the storm's about ready to put us out, isn't it?
It looks like it might be sliding past us.
Well, it's just about hitting you now. I just wanted to make a comment about that Jeff.
Yeah.
He is always on all three shows. So if he has got a job, how does he hold a job and get on the radio three times a day?
A lot of people have wondered that, Maggie.
You know what I mean? Reeve Hurst and the Bush administration, you know what I mean? Telling all this bunch of crap about the Democrats and Byrd and Ray Hall and all the ones that is trying to help this nation. And still he gets on there and bashes them. But there is a guy, I hope that's a listener, that called himself Ed.
Yeah.
And he called Dr. Bill and gave him the lowdown on a whole bunch of stuff on Bush.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll call you tonight, I hope.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, I do. So you know what I mean. I'll get off of here and take care of this storm.
All right. Keep take care, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, I've got the details here. Yeah, it's bowler hats and umbrellas all the way around. Under the agreement, Texas Supreme Court Justice Priscilla Owen, nominated to a seat on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, would advance to a final confirmation vote. She's already been rejected once by the Senate. That's just disgusting. Tell you what, if you're online, stick with us. A brief break, and then we'll come back and go to your phone calls. Well, some nights it's hard to be a Democrat. Yeah, we compromised by letting the people on that we didn't want to let on in the first place. And we promised we'd let everybody else on, too. What a compromise. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search
and there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where
disaster strikes,
and one volunteer force
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol, the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Number 400,610.
Number 400,611. Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
100,902.
700,000. We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
None of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is Dave.
The communities we unite. The newfound optimism. The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lisa.
Michael. Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, go to your local United Way.
Hi, this is James Blake. Being a world-class tennis player takes total commitment, and it's that same type of commitment the Shriners have in providing world-class medical care to kids, care that's totally free of charge. Shriners Hospitals combine expert orthopedic and burn care with leading-edge research and an outstanding teaching program. I know, because as a child, I was a patient at a Shriners Hospital. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. Call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Let's go straight to the phones. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Rick is calling from Texas. First-time caller, Rick. Thanks.
Hey, Bob. This is Rick. We've talked through emails a few times.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to call and let you hear what a real Texas voice sounds like after 6 years of listening to Bush.
Oh, thank God. I appreciate it.
well, nothing really important. Just want to say it's really good tonight, and I do like what you had to say about Ponchatouille over in Louisiana. Those animals need to be hung up for exactly what they are. I agree with you on that 100%.
What scares me, though, Rick, is the fact that when you see coverage of all this stuff, you won't see it tied to their so-called Christianity. But I think it's part and parcel of the problem.
Absolutely. As I sent you in the email, a lot of these people will hide behind the cross. They will hide to pretend that they don't have these feelings that they have. Then once they get into the situation, they have the victims there, and they start acting. You see it with the Catholic Church, where you have latent homosexuals trying to fight it off by becoming priests. And you see it in this.
And it's heartrending.
It breaks your heart. I did want you to know that I heard your Friday, your last few minutes of that, and it was amazing to hear how much you were moved over this. I was quite impressed.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. I suppose people on the other side of the aisle would suggest that we're getting this coverage because there's some sort of liberal media bias against, what, pederasts and pedophiles?
Well, if there is, I sure hope there is. But I think, as you saw on Fox, that liberal bias does not exist. It's just a way to force people to believe that there is a conspiracy against them. There is 20 million people in America that carries a diagnosis, or if they went for treatment, they would, of being paranoid. And Rush Limbaugh caters to these paranoid people.
Absolutely.
He says, I have your person who's out to get you. And they're liberal. Here they are. I'm going to name them. And then you have the paranoid people getting up and saying, see, I told you. I told you they were out to get me, and here's the proof. And that's Limbaugh's people. Those are the ditto heads. Those are the people who listen to him constantly.
And Rick, that's what I keep saying is that, I criticize Democrats. I criticize people who I think are inimical to our Republican constitutional form of government. But without fail, whether it be Savage or O'Reilly or Hannity or Limbaugh, it's all, and I know I make people mad when I say this. But it is the same thing you get out of the Klan. It's always some other group, some excluded group, some group that's certainly not us good people that are doing all the damage.
That's exactly it. And you mentioned earlier how they get so upset about the placing of the word Nazi next to their name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Right wing members of the German political party were the Nazis. The Nazi Party was built from the right wing. And unlike, let's say, in Mussolini's country, Italy,
right,
where it was built through the dictatorship was more of a commercial fascism that was made with government support in industry and industry support in government. But in Germany, it was pure right wing and very religious at the time that it started.
Oh, there are passage after passage from Hitler's early speeches where he talks about what a fine Christian he is.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And I hope a little bit later in the week, I know Thursday's no good for you, but a little bit later in the week, I want to chat more at length about what you've identified and what you're calling the Fox Syndrome. You know that the Michael the Savage Wiener has a book out now called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder.
Yes, I saw that, and I even made a little note on his book about that. You might want to look it up. It's kind of cute.
Okay, great.
Well, one of the main things I say on it is that his came after mine.
That's right. He's knocking you off, right?
One other thing that you might want to think about is that one of the problems that we've had, we've constantly called them liars.
Mm-hmm.
We have constantly said that they're stupid, and every time we do that, they come back with another lie or another stupid statement. Every village has an idiot, but only the village turns into a village of idiots when they start listening to them.
That's true.
So the trick is you pat them nicely on the hand and say, yes, I know you believe what you're saying, and then back away from them.
Okay,
and they have no power anymore.
And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of accusing people of not being too bright.
Well, you accept that, though. I mean, look at George Bush. The man is not intelligent. He's not.
No, there's no way you can make the argument that he is.
And look at the people who are around him who put him in office. They were the same people who put Reagan in office.
But they are smart.
Right. Now, see, here they are. These are the people who had Reagan, who, except for just a few moments of clarity, forgive me, but he had Alzheimer's.
He did. Well, it's verifiable.
If you have it at 80, you have it at 50. You have it at 60. You certainly have it at 72. They knew what they were doing. And when they looked around for someone to replace Reagan, they looked for a cowboy, even though he's a fake one, and they looked for someone who was not going to have a moment of clarity. There's only one person in this nation who really believes that these town hall meetings are real, and that's George Bush.
Oh, Lord. That's just terrifying, Rick.
It is, sir. It is. Anyway, Bob, please forgive me for calling you.
No forgiveness necessary.
But I couldn't hold silent anymore.
That's all right, and we'll be talking at greater length later in the week, okay?
Okay, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Good day.
Bye now. Rick is an author, and he has he is also a mental health worker, and he has, in fact, identified an illness, Fox syndrome, and it is a shared psychotic disorder diagnosed per the standards of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition. And as I said, he has written a book, and we'll be talking about it later in the week, talking with Rick about it. It was a fascinating short little read. I went through it over the weekend and just sat there going, oh, my God, absolutely. Because the evidence is all there. Absolutely. The evidence is all there, and all we need to do is see it. Onward and upward, David is with us. Hey, David, your head on. David.
I don't know about upward. Maybe sideways with a big left turn, but... I called in about the United Nations, but before that, I want to curtail on this Fox News idea.
Okay.
These hideous, staged, programmed, scripted town meetings are not town meetings. They're selected stooges that stand up and read a script.
Absolutely.
And then they are broadcast to the American people that unless they're really working at it, they think, well, golly, the rest of America says Mr. Bush has figured out how to fix Social Security. And then a very nice graphic comes along, and then an authoritative voice says, we report, then we deceive, and the American public swallows.
And changes the channel. What's going on with Michael Jackson?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's just disturbing, David. But it's sadly true, and of course the other part of it is that you don't watch Fox News unless you're supposed to. And if you recall when Fox first started off, you couldn't tune in the Flush Flimball show because he had been paid so much money by Rupert Murdoch to talk about how fair and balanced they were.
Precisely.
So what, I mean, it was rather brilliant when you get right down to it, because what Rupert Murdoch managed to do was to bogart Russia's pre-screened, pre-selected, pre-anesthetized audience right into the cathedral of crap.
Well, those that believe are the dumb ones and the ones that aren't thinking. The people that are putting out the message are crafty. They're good at their skills. They know what they want to do, and they're very good at it. Now, the one saving grace, before I go on to the UN, the one saving grace about the Democratic Party's cave-in is that even though the Democratic Party caved in, and even though I would have rather seen them fight and force the Republicans into ramming absolutely everything they wanted down our throats, because they don't have absolutely everything, there's a small wedge being driven between the ultra, ultra, ultra right wing of the Republican Party and the right wing of the Republican Party. There's a small, small chasm developing because, and I've heard them say it, we didn't exploit our victory. We won, they didn't, we own them. Why should we give them anything?
Well, that makes
sense. So there's a small victory in that that may benefit our Democratic Party.
I hope it proves to work out in the optimistic way in which you've envisioned it. David, would you mind? I don't want to get started on something and then have to take a break. Can we take the break in front of it?
Oh, well, of course. You know, I'm so eager for my 15 minutes. I'll hang on forever.
Well, I appreciate it. It won't be forever. It'll be a little 0.5 forever.
And it won't last for 15 minutes either. I don't have that much.
Well, okay, but I want to put you
on. I'll happily wait.
Okay, great. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. It's just unfair, I think, to let somebody get started on a thought and then go, oh, wait. So let's come back. Let's go to the break now and come back. And I think David said a little something about the UN. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Beckley police continue investigating a major case of vandalism discovered this morning at Woodrow Wilson High School. Someone entered the school courtyard last night, throwing toilet paper in every direction and spray painting windows, the school's coal bear and cub statues, also the base of the school's eagle statue. Assistant Principal Jackie McPeak says it's the worst case of vandalism that she's ever seen.
You'll have little things. They may spray paint their name on a walk or something, or the toilet paper, the pine trees in the front. But normally it's not this destructive. This is really a lot of vandalism all over everything. And the police officer said because it is so severe, he is going to pursue it as destruction of property.
Police say the incident occurred sometime between 7:30 and 2:30 this morning. McPeak thinks seniors were responsible, since most of the areas hit were those seniors would be most familiar with. And she's asking for the public's help in finding those people responsible.
If there's any parent or anyone in the community at all that has any information that can help us, to please call the school and to call extension 101. We'll have a central collection area. If they have any information at all, we'd really appreciate their help.
Most of Woodrow's seniors had their last day of school on Friday after they finished taking tests. 9th and 10th graders are still in school, as well as those still taking tests. Somers County voters have turned down an excess school levy. It would have provided $1.4 million a year for school renovation, adult vocational classes, school, and extracurricular ideas for students, financial support for music, drama, and art, and also classroom supplies and textbooks. Four teens were shot to death early this morning outside a Huntington home. Huntington police say the victims were 18-year-old Edric Clark of South Point, Ohio, 17-year-old Michael Dillon of Huntington, 16-year-old Megan Poston of Barbersville, and 19-year-old Dante Ward of Huntington. Three of the teens were dead when police arrived, and a fourth died a short time later at Cabell Huntington Hospital. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Very uncomfortable again. Showers and thunderstorms this evening and tonight. Low tonight near 42. Tomorrow a chance of showers, cloudy and chilly with a high only near 52. And then tomorrow night a chance of showers, low 44. Mostly cloudy on Wednesday with temperatures again only in the mid to upper 50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Only a few weeks ago, George W. and the Congress teamed up with big banking lobbyists to slam hard-hit working folks by shutting off their access to bankruptcy protection. Take personal responsibility, scolded politicians of both parties. You made the debt, you have to pay it, even if it drives your family into the poorhouse, they piously admonished. So, where is the moral piety of these politicos now that United Airlines has simply walked away from its financial responsibility for the retirement of tens of thousands of its employees? Retirement benefits are not a gift to employees, but a part of their agreed-to compensation. This is a contractual and moral obligation that United's top management willingly agreed to as a result of good faith bargaining by its workers. Yet, United's top honchos now wail that, woe is us, if we honor this debt, the airline and our families will be in the poorhouse, and we can't have that, can we? So United has taken advantage of our nation's bankruptcy laws to terminate its retirement plans, creating the largest pension default in U.S. history. Not only has the corporation stiffed its workers, many of whom will now see drastic cuts in their retirement income, but it has also dumped $3.2 billion worth of its pension obligations onto the federal agency that guarantees pensions. Yes, this means that we taxpayers are having to pick up United's load. There are several ironies here. One, this private enterprise is grabbing corporate welfare to save it from its own failure. Two, retirees who will be financially broken by this pension cutback no longer have bankruptcy protection, such as United is using. Third, the CEO who claims that terminating the pensions of employees is a painful but necessary move will not share the pain, for his rich pension is still assured by United. This is Jim Hightower saying, where's Bush and the congressional moralizers on this act of fundamental immorality?
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. Libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.pla.org.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nightstar and talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. It may be 24 minutes and a half before it's something entirely different wherever you are. Although there are some time zones in Central Asia where it's like a half hour different. I don't know. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Back to the phones. David waited through the break very patiently. We appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Oh, absolutely no problem. Listening to Jim Hightower is always a pleasure, and I want everyone...
Sorry.
Listening to that wonderful 600K hum, I want everyone listening to the show to realize that that last Jim Hightower piece was the most densely packed...
Hold on, we're going to fix this. Hold on, we're getting this. I don't know, David, can you try back real quick? Take the gain down some. Okay, how about over here? Anything over here? Oh, this is irritating. David, you're still with us. Bear with us a second while we try to sort this business out. No, that's just nasty. I'm sorry, David, you're nothing but feedback. If you've got another phone, can you try back? I don't know if you can even hear me. We've lost you. That's just... Hold on. All right, David, please try back. I apologize for the technical difficulty on this end. That's frustrating. At any rate, our friend David in South Carolina, other David, one of many apparently, sent this article in from MSNBC and other various wire reports. On the compromise in the Senate, and what did I say the other night? Who's doing the compromising here? And I said, tell me it's appeasing Joe Lieberman. In a Senate that is increasingly polarized, the bipartisan center held, said Senator Joseph Lieberman, Democrat of Connecticut. So I was right. I hate being prophetic sometimes. Let's try David again. How's that?
Dare we try again?
Yeah, we're there. We're golden.
Well, anyway, Jim Hightower was the most incredibly interesting, densely packed, factual piece I may have ever heard him do, because it covered so many bases. You know, a duly constituted agreement, contractual obligation. Oops, we need to just like abrogate that and go on to other things. And what about the suppliers of goods and services that haven't had that problem, that are now behind the eight ball because the Bush administration is going to bail out an airline that's got a problem?
Oh, I know.
It's all kinds of angles that are all kinds of ugly, but
well, here's the
not a single word about United not being willing to suck it up and do what they signed a contract to do.
Nope. And here's the real beauty of it, David. Whenever you hear one of these hard right-wing go-to-the-woods, join-a-militia types,
yep.
They talk about property rights in America. The right to property is one of the fundamental constitutional rights of any American. You've heard that, right?
I've heard it when I could smell his breath.
So, you got to wonder where they are, because those pensions are property.
Of course they are.
And if you take somebody's property away without due process of law, that there is communism.
Well, I know, but that same guy would probably rationalize something along the way of, well, he got that because of union affiliation, so it was more than a real working man or woman would have gotten.
Yeah, because real working men and women in America, minimum wage? Less than minimum wage?
Well, they live and die by what the masa lets them have.
That's right.
Let's go on to the United Nations.
Yeah, please. I didn't mean to divert you.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm completely tangential. Doesn't take much for me to go another way. Anyway, the Democrats are folding their tent, so to speak, and things aren't going to be really stiffly fought. I'm hoping they're saving a lot of fight. I'm hoping they're saving some party for the Supreme Court nomination. But that means almost certainly, here in a little while, we're going to have ourselves a new representative to the United Nations. And he is a very special individual. And he's got certain personality characteristics. And he's got certain outlooks on life. And he's got certain things he likes to see, well, women in his world do and not do. And I'm sorry, I can just see him striding up to the podium. Right there in New York City, I can just see him striding up to that podium, looking around that body and just, you know, staring toward Kofi Annan and saying, well, Mr. Annan, say your prayers, varmint. I'm sorry, we're standing Yosemite Sam.
Oh, God!
The nation.
I hate that majestic, noble Secretary Generalness.
Can't you see him striding up to that podium?
Oh, complete with the mustache. Time? He's got the mustache.
Whooping that coat back.
When I say war, I mean war.
Can't you see it?
Oh, he is. Oh, my God. George Bush has nominated Yosemite Sam to the still in
there. He is. He's where he is, you know, and then once he really gets to know everybody. So, Annan, but wife yours ain't too fat. What do you think about a three-way? It's coming, boss. It's on the way.
Oh, I know.
What? Sarabelle from St. Louis?
Oh, my God.
You idiot. That ain't what President Bush sent me here to tell you. Oh, it's all right there in front of us. Who's going to do it?
There's only one downside, David. If everything we hear about John Bolton is true, when he gets really agitated, he'll use the real world's words. He won't say dag staggin blagger flash snackin fraggle razdaggin blue nose not old flack and rackin.
He'll whip out, you know, can't you imagine? You know, he wanted the top 10 stories of the building gone, so I'm sure he got the F bomb right there in the General Assembly.
It's beginning to, oh, God, he's beginning to turn into a Ray Stevens song.
Yeah, Genie will send him flowers.
Oh, God, David. Oh, God, that's good. That's good.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. You got to laugh at him. I agree with Molly Ivins. You've got to cloak it in laughter or, you know, draw a tub of really warm water and seek out that fresh razor blade. You got to laugh at him.
You absolutely do, but the laughing is what we do amongst ourselves.
Exactly.
Standing up to them with your fist balled up is what you do when you're around them.
Yep. We've got to fight back. We have to fight back. I mean,
the Senate thing?
Yeah, what's the count? Out of those 10 cretins that he threw back, and that's an insult. What that is you tapped into something that nobody else will catch on to, I'm fearing, in this whole show. Abe Fortas went up, went down, and Lyndon said, okay, that's we're not playing the third inning over again.
Right.
Lyndon went on to the fourth inning. George amended the rules, threw it all over, and said, oh, really? Watch this. I'll have myself elected with bad voting machines and lies from Karl Rove, and then I'll feed it to you again. Why don't you eat it and smile, Democratic Party? Here they all are again.
And guess what we did? We ate it and smiled. You mentioned something about waiting and saving something up for the next fight.
Here's the big one is the Supreme Court.
Okay. Well,
do we still have the filibuster?
Well, we're going to have it, but it's like,
filibuster. We got diet filibuster now.
We got diet filibuster now.
Dammit.
Here's the quote.
Where's my shooting arms?
Now, see, Homeland Security will come get us for that, David. Now, under the agreement, this is quoting from the story that South Carolina David sent me. Under the agreement, Democrats would pledge not to filibuster, here's an important little word, any of Bush's future appeals court, another important little bitty word, or Supreme Court nominees.
Any?
Or.
Oh.
Except in extraordinary circumstances.
All right, well, that's all right. In political terms, that would take three Mack trucks, and William the Refrigerator Perry could go through that one. So.
Well, yeah, but extraordinary circumstances. What is that? Bush, if Bush should happen to nominate the corpse of Ronald Reagan, the Democrats might get to filibuster that. Might. If the Republicans deemed that was extraordinary. Because they're going to, the Republicans are in the majority, David, they're going to do the deeming.
And they're going to load the courts. They're going to do the, you know, and what is so hideous is based on these think tanks, based on these judge appointments, based on crooked elections, based on campaigns of incredible, based on campaigns of incredible lies and masterful strategy, they feel like they're going to be able to elect all they want for as long as they like.
Well,
should they ever need to overturn this, I'm convinced they believe that, oh, well, if we want the filibuster back, we'll vote it back in.
Or, no, here's what's even worse, David. They think, I mean, when you're talking about a Republican, they've been constantly warned during this debate, one of these days the Democratic Party will be back in control of the Senate, and then you'll want your filibuster. And you know what the Republicans have thought all along? They haven't come out and responded to that overtly. They haven't said, no, we've got the Senate forever. They're not that stupid. No, the Senate Republicans have thought, sure, maybe someday we will be in the minority again, but then we'll call you ugly names and make you give us the filibuster back. And you'll do it, because you're a bunch of gutless, spineless, soulless, sissified, miserable, simpering cowards. And you know what, David?
We might. We actually might, because at the heart of every populist, liberal Democrat, the majority of that heart is filled with fair play.
Yeah.
And we know that it was a mistake to take that away. Over the 225 years that that process has been available to us, we know that it would be, will be, and so long as it is gone, is a huge mistake.
Well, you see, you got your senator, sorry, not being mean, Bill the Cat Killer.
Don't say you were without a smile on your face, buddy.
Exactly. The moment draws closer when all 100 United States senators must decide a basic question of principle, Frist said earlier in the day, as the wrap of the Senate's gavel opened a scheduled day and night session. Here's the beauty. Whether to restore the precedent of an up or down vote or to enshrine a new tyranny of the minority. I despise a liar and a moronic liar even more, David, because you know what? There's nothing majoritarian about the entire United States Senate. Nothing. That's why Idaho and West Virginia have as much power in the United States Senate as New York and California and Florida. We've all got the same number of senators.
That is the ugliest, most duplicitous of hideous lies for that man, because he's bright enough to know exactly how big that lie is. That's not a lie out of urgency or ignorance. That's a lie out of deep-seated calculation and incredible self-centeredness, and that's the ugliest of that sort of thing.
And it's a lie out of a deep-seated and naked desire for nothing but unmitigated, raw political power with which you can bulldoze anyone who happens to disagree with you.
Can any of us say Nazi?
We can all say Nazi. And you know what? You mentioned something, David. As we continue to discuss this, I would like for the people who listen to this program to stop referring to what Frist wanted to do as the nuclear option. I don't want it called the constitutional option. They even trotted out trying to call it the bird option. Okay? From now on, what we refer to Senator Cat Killer's option, it is what it is. It is the final solution.
I agree.
The final solution.
It is an early step in the final solution. The eradication of Democrats. The eradication of anyone that doesn't buy in. Jews are going to be killed at the moment the others ascend to heaven on golden wings with a plate of fried chicken. Well, the least they can do is, you know, kill us before they go and eradicate us. If you don't believe it our way, there is no other way.
And there is no room for you either at the inn or in the Senate. It's a creepy bunch, David.
Oh, you've known it. I've known it. A few others are catching on. Oh, I sincerely hope more catch on.
Well, maybe if they'll hurry up and get a verdict out of the Michael Jackson trial, but then we'll have another celebrity trial. Anything to keep the American people diverted, David. Anything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, as opposed to Bret and Circus, it's Desperate and Jackson.
Hey, David,
Desperate,
thanks so much.
And tax cuts.
Exactly. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Has a fracking blue nose, not old, knackin', rassin'. Yep, we're sending Yosemite Sam to the United Nations. Jeez. Emma? St. Louis? Let's go to the phones. Paul is with us. Hey, Paul, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, just fine. Yosemite Sam, huh?
That's who he is.
I sent up something last Friday, both Ray Hall, Bert, and Jay, and I want to say it once again. When he signed the bill, H.R. 1, 2003, we pointed to a whole new panel of judges. These are appellate judges to hear cases on Medicaid and HMOs.
Yep.
And these were not appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. He gave the power and authority to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. That is a direct violation of the Constitution.
You would think that it would be running rather at odds with Article 3.
That's it. But it actually comes under Title 9 and 11.
Oh, sure. Right.
And those are
administrative law judges.
Right. Those are administrative law judges, and they got to be appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. But here we have violated the Constitution. And any time Mr. Byrd stands up for the Constitution, he's got my vote.
Absolutely.
And he's the only one in that Congress that stands up for the Constitution. And it has been violated so many times since 1984 that you wouldn't believe it.
You could run a rape kit on the Constitution right now, Paul.
Yeah.
You honestly could. And it's sad, and it's a betrayal is what it is. It's a betrayal of the ideals that I got and you got. You're older than I am, but you got those ideals growing up. They were handed to me as well. They were passed down by your generation to mine. And now we get these punks in Washington who just spit on it. And I resent it.
Yeah. Now you got the chicken hawk. Got three women to back him up now.
Oh, yeah.
When you've got to appeal to the women to go to this, and you fail to do your job. And that's bad. That's bad.
It is indeed.
And,
it's depressing.
We got a problem and a half in this country, and these people don't know what's coming on. And the same thing is going on in our own state government. And as of today, Bob, we just, in 26 months, 641 million Chapter 7 bankruptcies.
How many?
641 million. Southern West Virginia only.
In how long?
26 months.
Good gracious.
And we see, last time I mentioned this on your program, I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next day, boy, it was on. What I brought up, and you should have heard the excuses. But when you got people that's filing bankruptcy for over $1 million, and that was last week, and this week, just a few hundred dollars missing another million.
Well, and these are millions of dollars in medical records that apparently the other side, you know, and they're heartless, Paul. I mean, deal with it. They are heartless. You know, you're laying there, you might be on a respirator or a heart-lung machine or kidney dialysis, and, you know, they want to make sure that you're writing, even if you're not able to write the checks, they want to make sure you're trying to write the checks to these medical providers.
Yeah, but just like in last October 22nd when I told these people they didn't know what they were doing. They were billing under state Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have the HMO operators codes. And now I told them, I said, what was coming? I said, you're coming down 6 2/3% every year from the federal government on Medicaid. We're going to have to make it up. So what we hit this year, $156 million we got to make up.
I wonder where it's going to come from.
Yeah, but see, we got two problems here. We got to make that up. Plus, you got a governor now who wants to change the Constitution, sell these pension bonds, which are public, to the private, which you triple the debt on the people when you do this.
Well, and the other thing that was pointed out, and I thought rather trenchantly, Paul, when we if we buy in on this bond scheme, it is an upward redistribution of wealth.
It is.
Because as long as you and I pay our taxes and we pay our pensions, pension debts for public employees out of those taxes, it's a tax issue. But when we sell these bonds are not going to be bought by mom and pop. They're going to be bought by the silk suit crowd.
That's right.
And they, in turn, will not pay taxes on that bond.
And if they go bankrupt, what are you going to do? The people of this state has to pick up a triple debt.
It's like refinancing
your house.
Yeah, I can't go to the polls and vote for this, Paul, because I don't have the consent of the next generation to do it to them.
No, and I'm not going to vote for it either. And I've tried to explain to the people, would I have stopped both the governors from doing this, putting it on the stock market? Now we're going to try through the Constitution of the state. I'm sorry, people. you're operating under a federal law on pensions. And when you do this, you violated the law. You violated statute law. It's just plain as all get out in the tax code book the way it's written. We're all bound. But letting these companies bail out, and they fixed the law, but the people didn't know that they broke the law when they done this.
Well, that's because you got to understand, though, that's because corporations are persons, and you and I, we're persons, but corporations are immortal persons, and they are therefore more powerful and important than both of us. Paul, I appreciate the call, but we got to roll on. Time for the news.
Okay, bud.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye now. All right, top of the hour news. Maybe we can talk about this Senate business a little bit. My stomach's turning. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Head On.
In Sweetwater, a college student teaches swimming at the Y.
In Woodsboro, an iron worker builds a home with Habitat for Humanity.
In Detroit, a dental hygienist helps clean up a state park.
In Seattle, a commercial fisherman joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
Tight budget, have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One car travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
WWNR Beckley.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the heroes have leaped in this province with better distributions of 70.
Hey there, well, know how much you care from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's the forecast from the Weather Channel. After a high in the 60s, we're headed to 46 through the overnight hours with a few thunderstorms through the evening. We have a chance of rain about 60%. We're not far enough to commit right now. Not even occasional showers, a high of 53 for tomorrow. And for Wednesday to be showery as well on the mean points of the upper trough, high around 59. And then finally, some sun back Tuesday.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, before I go into this, the phone number 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. Email to bob@headonradio.com. This whole Senate... it is the Senate Democrats' great moment of Neville Chamberlainism. Neville Chamberlain was a decent man. He thought he was doing right. Turned out not to be the best of ideas. And this from Democratic Underground. Mark my words, the Senate wants to destroy the Republicans want to destroy the Republic itself. They will try again. Here's what we'll hear when the Supreme Court finally needs a replacement justice.
I have changed our deal. Pray I do not change it further.
Darth Frist.
I have changed our deal. Pray I do not change it further.
Okay, maybe that was a mistake. But the sentiment is true.
We compromised. We had a compromise. We took our little umbrellas and our little bowler hats and we had a compromise. Now, here is the Senate compromise. Here's what the Senate Democrats did. The Senate Democrats took out their pistol
dumped the bullets out of the cylinder and handed it to the Republicans, who gave back a wooden one. Okay? Listen, under the agreement, Democrats would pledge not to filibuster any of Bush's future appeals court or Supreme Court nominees except in extraordinary circumstances. And you can bet under the agreement that the Republican Party will damned well tell the Democrats just exactly what an extraordinary circumstance is. For instance, let's say George Bush, I don't know, has an acid flashback or a tequila flashback or, you know, back from when he was sniffing glue at Andover, whatever, and nominates a pro-choice person to the Supreme Court. Then the Republicans, Bill Frist included, will look to the Democrats and say, you can filibuster now. We give you permission. That is the nature of this agreement. Democrats pledge not to filibuster any of Bush's future appeals court or Supreme Court nominees except in extraordinary circumstances. Here's what they got in return. Republicans agreed not to support an attempt to strip Democrats of their right to block votes. Is it me, or did my party just buy the Brooklyn Bridge? I kind of think we did. Where's the compromise in that? There's no promise from the Republicans. The Democrats gave up their filibuster rights. What's to filibuster anymore? Why would you take the filibuster away if they're not filibustering? Oh, and by the way, part and parcel of this agreement was the fact that the Senate Democrats had promised to stall the much yearned for the asbestos litigation. You know, another one of those giveaways of our rights, where people have mesothelioma from breathing asbestos. This asbestos litigation will take away their right to sue over it. Charming, isn't it? And now, since the Democrats have reached an agreement, Oh, it's sweet, they've got an agreement. I wonder if the Democrats even got kissed. Since there's an agreement, the anti-worker, anti-crippled people legislation can go through. Because dear leader dearly wants that legislation. Because you got to remember, people whose lungs are eaten alive by asbestos, whose hands are permanently curled into claw shapes from the effects of asbestosis, you got to remember, in dear leader's mind, those people won life's lottery. Because they get to sue the manufacturer so that they don't just have to lay there in their own filth and die. I'm disgusted. And to have a drop-dead ignorant punk like Bill Frist, who lusts after the White House so much so that he can taste the metallic, irony flavor of blood in his mouth.
Whether to restore the precedent of an up or down vote or to enshrine a new tyranny of the minority.
New tyranny of the minority. And they get to say things. And there is not one single member, except for perhaps one, with the nerve to stand up to that cat killer and say, you sorry, miserable, damned, godless liar. New tyranny of the minority. Now, I paid attention in civics class. The House of Representatives is pure majoritarian rule, pure tyranny of the majority. The Senate, however, is a forum for the states, where every state is equal no matter how many people live in it or don't. Rhode Island has as many senators as California. Hawaii has as many senators as New York. West Virginia has as many senators as Ohio. Iowa has as many senators as Florida. There is nothing majoritarian in that, unless perhaps, you know, Tennessee has as many senators as Texas. Now, if it's truly a majoritarian body like this good-for-nothing damn liar Frist says it is, then he needs to step down in favor of maybe another senator being elected from Texas or California, perhaps, or Washington State or Florida, New York, Pennsylvania. Pick one. But he just lies and gets away with it because of the, you know, that liberal media won't call him to task on it. Disgusting. It's disheartening. It's un-American. What the Democrats did is un-American. Well, okay, since you promised not to take away our filibuster, we promise not to filibuster anymore. So we'll let you have we'll let you have a vote on a woman who, for all intents and purposes, killed a little black boy in Texas, and we'll let you have another judge from California who says that old people are cannibalizing their grandchildren. Okay, we'll let you have them. But if you come up with a really extraordinarily bad one, we're still going to filibuster, okay? No. Because, again, the damned Republicans will determine what's extraordinary. That wasn't in our agreement. That person's not extraordinary just because they used to be a member of the Nazi Party. Would nominating David Duke, assuming he could be nominated to the federal bench, would nominating David Duke be extraordinary to the Republican Party? Hell no! He's just another good right-wing Christian. I almost wish we would have made the Republicans exercise the final solution so that we could finally drag the rubber masks off of all of them and see them for the totalitarian fascist monsters that they are. But no, because in a Senate that is increasingly polarized, the bipartisan center held, said Senator Joe Lieberman. Oh, God, with Democrats like him, who needs Republicans? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They focus on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from your neighbors, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto-match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you are universal, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our four local hosts.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Honey, can you pour me some water?
Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. And it doesn't matter. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. And it doesn't matter. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it still doesn't matter. The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
Welcome back. 18 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock, that break wasn't painful at all, now was it? Got an email in from
our good friend David in South Carolina after my remarks about spineless, wimpy, gutless Democrats. And it, you know, there is a certain joy and glory. And I mean no disrespect to any other region, but there is a certain joy in being a Southerner. Now, we have our drop-dead, butt-ignorant moments, but there are a lot of redeeming qualities about a Southerner. One of, you know, or at least I can identify this. David writes in from South Carolina, "It's like a water moccasin falls out of a tree into the wooden fishing boat, so the wily Democrat fisherman whips out his gun and fires holes into the bottom of the boat. Into the swamp water he tumbles without his boat or his rifle. He still has to deal with the snakes without a weapon." Ain't that the truth? Because the Senate Democrats have given up their weapon in exchange for not having their weapon taken away. Ow! It just hurts my head. They gave up the filibuster. They gave up their weapon. They handed it to the Republicans so the Republicans wouldn't take their weapon away. Which is worse, having it? Well, I mean, you know, come on. Raise your hand if you got a little redneck in you. I'm a gun-owning liberal. And how many of us have seen the bumper sticker, "They can have my guns when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers"? Well, in the Senate, we didn't have enough guts to say that. It wasn't "they can have our guns when they pry it from our cold, dead fingers." They can have our filibuster when they pry it from our cold, dead fingers. Wrong. Yeah, you want my gun? Here, take my gun. Boop. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Nope, not helping. To the phones, Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
Hey.
I can picture it now. They may as well have said this. "We have plucked from this nettle of danger the flower of safety," which is exactly what Chamberlain said at Croydon Airport in 1938.
So, you know, you got to admit, Joe Lieberman will probably look good with that bowler hat and umbrella.
Well, I don't know what to say.
No, I mean, you're sitting there, you've got a TV in front of you and stuff, Jim. Are you hearing the same thing I'm reading?
No, to tell you the truth, I switched it to Hercule Poirot.
Oh, I can't blame you.
I mean, you know, when I originally saw that thing come over a couple hours ago and I told you about it, I thought that, well, maybe, but I don't think so. And I expressed the same, that sentiment. But I mean, you know, you said bowler hats and umbrellas and Neville Chamberlain, and, you know, when are these people going to realize it? What they've done.
They think that they are dealing with honorable men and women. They're not. They're dealing with monsters. I mean, it is. It's the same thing that happened in the Reichstag, Jim. What song did they sing?
Who? After they voted?
Yeah.
After they put the horse vessel lead.
Yeah.
Exactly what they sang. The horse vessel song. Song based on some... Yeah, they've been murdered in a street brawl.
Yeah. Well...
I don't know. There was Bird, and then Warner said, "No, it's your time to speak," and all this kind of stuff, and I don't know. I just don't understand it. I mean...
Well, maybe we're just simpletons. Jim, maybe we're just simpletons, and we don't understand that the Democrats really won.
Well, if...
They've pledged not to filibuster a Supreme Court nominee. That means that any kind of right-wing constitution-in-exile monster that Bush wants to send up, he's going to get a straight up or down vote on in complete derogation of the of Article 2, Section 2 of the United States Constitution.
Well, it looks like our Constitution is going the way basically going the way of the old Weimar Constitution in 1933.
Let's not be so complicated, Jim. It's going the way of the dodo.
Well, that's exactly what happened to that one.
Yeah. Freedom. What's freedom? What's a republic? What is buckets and buckets and seas and oceans of blood shed in the name of that Constitution? What the hell is that? It's certainly not anything that Joe damned Lieberman would be willing to fight for, is it?
I think not. I think not.
I'm sick, Jim. I'm sorry. I try not to make too much of a monkey of myself, but this just makes me mad.
Well, I mean, you know, I think you speak the truth. In this case, the truth is very hard to swallow. In light of these compromises, and basically they're following this policy of appeasement.
Yeah, but if this is a compromise, Jim, then the Jews compromised with Hitler when they got on the trains.
Well, no, I'm just, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they had basically followed this, and all Fritz and his people are saying, well, I know what my enemies are. I saw them at Munich. They're worms, and that's exactly what Hitler said. That's what the Republicans are saying.
Oh, it just hurts. It just hurts.
This is not good.
Jim, thanks. I appreciate it. Take care. Susie. Hey, Susie, you head on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You're on the
air? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. I'd like to compliment you on hitting the nail on the head.
Well, thank you.
And because when you made the statement that you and Jim might be simpletons, I think you actually hit the nail on the head.
Well, how nice of you, Susie.
You have a great evening.
Well, you know what? No, hold on there, Susie. Do you actually have a point, dear?
Well, actually, I try not to listen to this show, but I've had it on earlier listening to Mr. O'Brien, so when I turned it on, I just couldn't resist.
Well, so you're telling me you're in favor of shredding the Constitution, then, correct?
Oh, no.
You're a follower of Bill the Cat Killer Frist, is that it?
I'm just not going to argue.
You approve of him? You approve of him, dear?
Oh.
You approve of the Senate Majority Leader who vivisected cats that he adopted out of the animal shelter in Massachusetts when he was a student in medical school there?
I'm sorry, he did what?
Yes, ma'am. That's what he did.
I'm sorry, he did what? Tell me that again.
When Bill Frist was a medical student, these are his own words. These are from his own mouth. When he was a medical student in Massachusetts, he would go around to the animal shelters and take and adopt cats and take them home and kill them and cut them apart.
And he was doing this for medical science?
No, ma'am. He was doing this on his own hook. He didn't do it for a grade.
Did you know? Yeah, but I mean, he was actually doing self-study. He was
Cadaver to work on, a real live human being. He didn't need to go cutting up cats, okay? But anyway, never mind that. That's the kind of guy that you're supporting here.
I'm not too worried about those cats.
I know you don't care about cats. You don't care about people. You support this ungodly war. You're just another one of these monster Republicans. I understand that, Susie. But you know what? You call in here and you want to insult me. You're going to stick around a little bit and you're going to hear a little bit of the truth because God knows you don't get it listening to the Fox or whatever preacher you hang out with. You don't get it there, but you get a little dose here and you listen every night. And I'm glad you do. Thank you very much. Take care, ma'am.
I'm not much of an animal lover, so I don't much care about that.
Did you hear that? And you wonder why I call these people monsters? Didn't even have a point. Just wanted to call up and be rude. What a silly twit.
Did you? Well, he was doing it for medical science. Because he knew that he was going to grow up and operate on great big cats someday. That's why he was doing it. Did you? Yes. Yes.
Try to explain. You know, these Republican monkeys just irritate me. They're sadists. Hey, Susie, honey, how does it feel to be part of a political party that embraces child rapists? How does it feel to be part of a political party that embraces a guy at the the Food and Drug Administration who repeatedly, anally raped his wife of 32 years to the point that she finally broke down and divorced him? I guess this is just another one of those listeners with, her dial magically on 620. I love these monkeys. But see, no ideas. No comment. Yeah, I'm upset right now. I'm very upset because the country and the Constitution that my father, my uncles, my grandfathers, my great-grandfathers fought for is being flushed down the toilet by a gang of punks who don't give a damn about representative government. And those punks are supported by ignorant twits like that last woman who called. Susie. God help you, sister. I don't know how you managed to breathe out and breathe in again. You're ignorant. But, you know, I take all comers here. I'm not one of these runaway and hide types. I'll deal with them. You heard her.
I don't care about animals. I'm not an animal lover.
Humans are animals, sweetheart. And you don't care much about the humans either, you monster, because you voted for a guy who's killed over 100,000 human animals and 1,600 American human animals who had no business in a war. Sleep tight tonight, sugar. You're bathed in blood. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Mercer County authorities are asking for the public's help in solving last week's murder of a Green Valley tattoo shop owner. Mike White was shot to death in the parking lot of the Dragon's Den on Route 460 at around 2:30 Thursday afternoon. State police are looking for a green Lincoln that was seen driving away from the crime scene and was later found abandoned at about 300 yards away. Witnesses say White was trying to sell the vehicle and had received the keys, saying someone wanted to buy it. People in the building heard gunshots and then saw the vehicle speeding away from the site where White had been shot. The murder trial of one of the men accused of beating a McDowell County man to death last year has been rescheduled. Robert Forte of Kimball will now stand trial June 27th for the murder of Nick Cinsolo. Forte and Elsie Lester of Welch are accused of beating the 79-year-old man to death in October and then dumping his body in the spillway of a dam at Twin Branch. High gasoline prices may be bad news for motorists, but it's good news for Raleigh County's public transportation system. Officials with the Raleigh County Community Action Association say ridership on the bus is up since gas prices went above $2 a gallon. In a recent poll, 58% of Americans said they've reduced the amount of driving they do as a result of high energy prices. Robert Ryder with RCCAA says that translates into more people on the bus, but buses still have to pay the same high price for fuel that everybody else does. And Ryder hopes the increased ridership offsets those higher costs for buses. And finally, this evening, students and teachers at Woodrow Wilson High School had a rude awakening this morning when they arrived at school. Assistant Principal Jackie McPeak says someone broke into the school between 7:30 at night and 2:30 this morning and went on a very destructive spree of the school. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Showers and thunderstorms, chilly, low tonight near 42. Tomorrow and Wednesday a chance of showers and very cool for this time of the year. Daytime highs only near 52 tomorrow, maybe mid-50s if we're lucky by Wednesday. And then Thursday partly cloudy, finally a little bit warmer, with temperatures on Thursday in the upper 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's gardening guru. Bill, I'm thinking about planting a garden. Any tips on getting started?
Because gardening is a broad topic, Diane, here's a mnemonic to help. The word garden. Each letter stands for a different step. G is for ground. Prepare it by tilling and having a soil test done. A is for arrange. Arrange the layout of your garden before you plant. R is for research. Learn what grows well in your area from your local nursery. D is for dig. Create holes 4 times the seed's diameter. Cover the seeds and tamp down the earth. E is for encourage. Water and keep weed free. Vegetables need 1 to 1.5 inches of water a week. And N is for nurture. Monitor growth and enjoy the veggies of your labor.
So remember, just garden. ground, arrange, research, dig, encourage, nurture. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
As a boy, he sat on the porch steps of his Birmingham, England home and listened to his parents fight over money. His story next on Biography for Radio.
When you take 15 girls hiking, you've got to stay alert, even with bad allergies. Hey, stay together! Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm in control of my allergies. Only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. Claritin gives me 24-hour non-drowsy relief from my worst symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes. No cell phones in hiking. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear.
Try Claritin Ready Tabs, free. Go to Claritin.com. Use as directed.
His family was poor. So poor, he owned just one pair of pants and had to use a bucket as a toilet. Both of his parents worked in factories, but with six kids, it was hard to make ends meet. He said he wanted to be a plumber, but privately, he dreamed of driving his family away in a flashy Rolls Royce. As a young man, he learned how not to make money. He broke into a house and was thrown into jail. At the time he was released, the Beatles were topping the pop charts. He could carry a tune, he thought, so why not give music a go? After singing with some small bands, he co-founded a band called Earth, which was later renamed after a Boris Karloff movie. The band's driving heavy metal music brought them international fame. In 1978, the tattooed lead singer went solo. He released albums such as Diary of a Madman and performed strange stunts such as biting the head off a bat, all the while drawing huge crowds. In 2002, the so-called Prince of Darkness was still singing, and now he was also on television. The show about a burnout Beverly Hills rock star with two foul-mouthed kids has made a sensation, a former Black Sabbath lead singer and MTV star, Ozzy Osbourne. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is Healthy. Instead of adding to his tie collection, invite Dad or even Granddad to become your fitness partner this Father's Day. Scientific studies show that staying physically active and exercising regularly can help prevent or even delay some diseases and conditions as people grow older. Dr. Richard Hodes, director of the National Institute on Aging, explains.
It was not very long ago that in general people had the sense that as men and women grew older, they became frail, and as a result it was actually dangerous to exercise. And common advice was just to rest, take it easy, and not take the chance of exercise that might endanger health or cause injury. However, over the past years we've learned a great deal, and learned that the best advice is quite to the contrary, that exercise, when properly conducted, can be extremely important in preserving health in older men and women.
For more information on exercising and tips on how to exercise properly, visit health.nih.gov and search the phrase exercise for seniors. I'm Phil Stevenson for Healthy.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. You know what I love? These women, and I'm not gooning on women. I'm beginning to wonder if they're all the same one, though. Let's see. We had Lucinda. And then, Friday night, from Thursday night show, we had Audrey and Susie, and they all seem to have the same take. Hi, Bob. This from our good friend Nanette, a sane woman, I might add. Your last caller says that she's not an animal lover. That's what she said. Well, it seems to me that anyone who would advocate the torture of animals may have the mentality to do the same to people. They are mentally sick or just plain evil. Nanette, you will know them by their fruits. Now, I'm not an animal lover, so you're not going to get me going with that. Oh. But of course, you know, give it a couple more years, and the Susies and the Lucindas and the Audreys of the world will be the first ones in line. If you say, line up if you didn't vote for Bush. There will come a day when little children will spit on the ground at the very mention of the man's name. And Susie, Lucinda, Audrey will be one of the first spitters. let's go to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, a little something about the quality of callers.
Quality of callers, Bob, and you may hear a small chirp as the cell phone battery, you know, takes this little dirt nap before I plug it in, but... You know, you've created a very frustrated, very, very, oh, there's that little beep. You've created a very frustrated, angry woman with that previous caller because she did what works for Hannity. She did what works for Limbaugh. She did what certainly Bill O'Reilly has made an incredible living out of doing. She threw up one weak-minded, foolish, ill-thought-out, stupid remark that she thought would throw you off track. Oh, golly, it didn't. And you begged her to stay around, and she accepted the challenge, and she had it handed to her. So right now she's going, but wait a second, wait, hold it, I did what Hannity did, and he didn't crumble.
I thought liberals were supposed to all run away like Alan Combs does.
Exactly. Mr. Combs was paid incredible amounts of money to be Mr. Hannity's lapdog and, you know, take it and like it. You know, for that, I mean, I might take it and like it. I'm not sure. I've never been offered that kind of money. But anyway,
nor
Susie et al. Has a little something extra to think about, and I think you're exactly right. I think she listens for nights on end. I think she takes notes. I think she works at it. And then she comes on, and she still can't make any sense out of her own position. So.
Well, and you know what, David? She's a perfect example. We're gonna. Did you hear Rick from Texas call earlier?
I did indeed. And you know, I'm half Texan, and I'm glad he called in and said, wait a second, hold on, you need to hear from a real Texan.
Well, he's not just a real Texan. He is a real Texan mental health professional. And he's written a book called The Fox Syndrome, and he's going to be back on here. And, Rick, if you're still listening, I think you just heard another case study. Because he treats people like Susie, who think that the truth is spewed forth on Fox News, who believe that Saddam had something to do with 9/11, who is just as sure
what's
as their
the percentage on that nowadays? It's still incredible.
Yeah, well, it is. And the thing is, they're almost consistently 100% Fox News viewers. So
exactly.
Rick will be back on the show, and hopefully Susie will be listening again because she can't bear to admit that she listens every night. I think she thinks my voice is sexy. Rick will be back on, and he will explain for everybody just exactly the kind of mental illnesses that affect people like that. And
well,
how to diagnose it.
Go ahead.
And how to treat it.
I can't wait for Rick's return because as the son of a proud son of Bell County, Texas, I can't wait for a real Texan to come on and square it away because, you know, George is to Texas as good grief. I can't even come up with a good analogy.
Well, that's one of the beauties in Rick's book, The Fox Syndrome. He goes to great lengths to explain to the rest of us non-Texans that George is not one either.
Well, I'm glad somebody has put chapter and verse to it because the idea that he's Texas is just—it's just dead wrong. Well, I don't know if you can hear this silly chirp on this little cell phone battery, but I can. So
it is dying a slow and anguished death, David. Go plug it back up.
I shall, and I'll let it draw its little current. But rest assured, Susie is pacing and, you know, thinking about medication as we speak.
Good for her. Thanks, David.
See ya
later. And Ed, hey Ed, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm not doing as good as you are. I ain't got no Republican to make an idiot out of, or at least point it out.
Well, it's hard to make one out of somebody when they start out that way. You don't have that far to go.
No, you sure don't. But they make it easy. But you know, sometimes women should apply the same thing the Bible says to their life. You know, let their husbands explain to them at home, but there ain't no way a man could stay with a woman like that. But Bob, in all honesty, I really believe, like the one caller, it's always blabbing off Sandy Backbush and the war, and then don't mind mentioning the sacrifice that is made by the men, and don't mind what kind of stuff they have to go through.
And doesn't mind the sacrifice as long as it's somebody else doing the sacrificing.
And, you know, there is something unbalanced. They're mentally ill. I'm telling you, people like that has got to be a screw loose somewhere.
Oh, there's a whole hardware store's worth of screws rolling around. You're absolutely right, Ed.
But, You know, you're doing a good job on shutting her mouth, and I got a feeling I know who this one Audrey is, and if I could just hear her talk again,
well,
I
no,
could
she
tell
didn't...
you who it is, and you wouldn't believe who she is.
Well, Audrey has never called. Audrey just sent the email, but we had a Lucinda and Susie and Audrey, and they've all got the same characteristics, and I think they're the same woman.
Do you?
Yeah.
I couldn't hear the one a while ago. I was listening another way, and I couldn't hear it very good. But if I could hear her real good, man, it would knock your socks off if I could tell you who I think it is. But I don't want to do that and not be dead right.
Well, I understand that. That's good sense, Ed.
But this one woman, you know, the reason she thought she could come in and insult you like that or come in running her mouth is she's probably buddy-buddy with some of them right-wing preachers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just got to watch. But I just wanted to compliment you on the job you're doing. You deserve $100 an hour, Bob.
Well, bless your heart, Ed. I appreciate it, and maybe someday.
All righty. Well, right. Hang in there with them.
I'm going to try.
All righty.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye now. It's very easy to support someone else's sacrifice. And I apologize. I didn't ask Susie if she had sent any of her flesh and blood into George Bush's little meat grinder or if she was just supporting him sort of abstractly. Supporting sending other people's children into the meat grinder. Because that's usually the way it is with a chicken hawk. More than willing to let somebody else do the fighting and take the heat and then, you know, be the first in line at the parade to take the praise and the glory. I think it is sort of sick and mentally ill if you come right down to it. You see, you remember Pat Tillman played for the Arizona Cardinals, threw away a multi-million-dollar lifestyle because he believed in George Bush's war and signed up and went and got killed by his own men in a friendly firefight. Well, Pat Tillman's family that stood there and received the flags and the salutes and the hosannas, they're disgusted now because they've been lied to for over a year by George Bush's government, and they're beginning to talk about it. And I mentioned earlier, I believe it's blogspot.warisreal.com, an Iraq War veteran who has come home. And he describes in graphic detail his nightmares. And he's getting ready to go back, even though he is mentally shattered. And the Susies of the world sit there and go, "Yay, God bless you. Go back. Maybe this time you'll come back without a leg and we'll love you even more. God bless you." That's pretty monstrous conduct, isn't it? I submit to you that it's pretty monstrous to support a war that you're only supporting with your lips and not flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, blood of your blood. What is the opening of Gunga Din? You know, it's one of my favorites. You can almost picture the old regimental sergeant, because it's written in dialect, the old British regimental sergeant sitting in his easy chair looking back on his days of turmoil in the Raj. And what does he say at the beginning? "You may talk of gin and beer when you're quartered safe out here and you're sent to penny fights and Aldershot it. But when it comes to slaughter, you'll do your work on water, and you'll lick the bloomin' boots of him that's got it." That's what you get with these Susies and these armchair patriots and these sunshine patriots. Penny fights and Aldershot it. and talking of gin and beer, never knowing for an instant, never comprehending for a second, that when it comes to slaughter, you will do your work on water, and you'll lick the bloomin' boots of him what's got it. I've never served in the military. I thought about it once upon a time, but when Ronald Reagan became president, it became very, very obvious I wanted nothing to do with that. I don't serve monsters. I value my morals and the ethics with which I was raised, and they were not compatible. So please understand when you hear these Republicans saying, "I support the troops," they generally think they have done so by purchasing a little Chinese yellow magnet to stick on the back of their gas-guzzling SUV. They think that constitutes supporting the troops. They're talking of gin and beer quartered safe out here while the sons and daughters of the lower class and part of the poverty draft are sent to do their bidding in an unholy place, in an unholy war. My God, we saw over the weekend, didn't we, just how little the Bush administration thinks at all, but just how little the Bush administration thinks of other people's holy places. Sending Laura Bush tromping around at the Western Wall and tromping around to the Dome of the Rock, defiling a holy place with her very presence. And then there's the Quran. Account after account after account after account of that erstwhile holy book. And I apply erstwhile to the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita. They're holy to some, they're not holy to others. But the deliberate defamation of that book by our people. Disdain. Utter disdain. Other religions, other races, other creeds. Talk of gin and beer. While other mothers' children do their work on water and come home to nightmares and a government that doesn't care. Paul is with us. Hey, Paul, you're head on. Paul.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I want to say something to Susie.
Okay.
She doesn't care about animals?
That's what she said.
Six times God said everything is good. But he had to make a sacrifice, the thrice holy God, to cover the sins of man. He had to make the first sacrifice, and it was animal, to cover man's sin. And they covered themselves with leaves. In the same leaves, in the same tree, Christ even put a curse on it because it didn't have anything on it.
I know, Jack, or Paul, I know.
Do they not get it?
No, they don't.
And the sacrifices are supposed to be of animals. But what is it? These are people of Cain, because Cain killed his own brother.
As they would do, given the opportunity, and they do it, Paul.
And you know it.
When you lie your way into a war and send some other woman's son to die in it, what are you but a relative of Cain?
That's it. So if the thrice holy God, who's not a murderer, has to kill an animal to close you for your sin because he loved you so much, I tell you, a lot of people, they just read what they want to read in the book, not what's there, and it's the truth.
I know. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. What more is there to say? What more is there to say? What kind of nation is this that breeds someone who would say, "Well, I'm not an animal lover. So what, lady? You'd gladly kill another living thing. Do you do it for jollies? Do you have kids? My God, how did you raise your children? What kind of monsters have they turned out to be? Well, I'm not an animal lover." Like I said, humans are animals. perhaps the worst of the lot, if you consider the likes of Susie. My God. You know, I'm kind of done. I've got other stories here. Don't want to go into them right now. A little disgusted with humanity. Oh, by the way, if you were keeping score, President of Afghanistan today, Hamid Karzai, said Newsweek had nothing to do with the demonstrations in his country where his troops gunned down protesters. So while we're at it, that's another one for my side. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Republicans. Your boy Hamid Karzai just called your president a damn liar. Of course, that's what he is. And we got to keep that pipeline open across Afghanistan so George will stand there and take it. I remember when presidents were men of courage. I remember when presidents weren't named Bush. The show tonight was produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. Brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Going by, Ben's in fundraising mode right now. If you listen to the archives, then show Ben you appreciate what he does. And not with a Laurel and Hardy handshake. Hey, Agnes! Last year, now it's dead.